listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. But you don't want to be alone.
It don't take but two. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Sir Andrew Gribble, Jason Gibbs here with you. Hour number two of CBD. Gribbs, we got some calls. Am I wrong?
We got a couple.
Let's talk to them. Let's do it.
Dino the Trucker.
Dino the Trucker. What's up, Dino?
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing great.
Well, hey, the Cavs blew it, didn't they, for one game? One game they blew it, and everybody's panicking.
I'm not panicking. I just didn't like what I saw.
Well, I didn't like what I saw either. But yeah. I'll tell you what, there's six more games to go. Let's show us a little optimism. I think it's going to go seven. And even if they do lose, I just hope it's a battle to that. That's all.
I hope it is a battle. I hope, and again, I guess it was just the way they lost with Curry and Thompson struggling just makes me nervous. Granted, you could say if Curry and Thompson did what Barbosa and Livingston did and Livingston and Barbosa did what Curry and Thompson did, it would be the same thing. It's true. That's how the math works, but it's just a different feeling. When those guys start going and start raining threes, then it gets scary.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that they've lost some games, though, where both those guys have played well.
Sure,
Where Curry and Thompson play well. It's just, you know, I think even... you had a chance in Toronto when Toronto was beating the Cavs when DeRozan and Lowry had that historic combination of 65 points or whatever. Cavs were in that game until the very end. So if you contain it to those two, you're okay. It's just a decision. I'm fine with the defensive game plan. I hope the Cavs don't overreact in that direction. I'll live with open Draymond Green threes. I'll live with Leandro Barbosa driving the lane. I can live with that. I can't live with Clay and Steph going crazy because you're not playing
Harrison Barnes shooting
good
jumpers.
Defense. Yeah, I'm good with all that.
Yeah,
let those guys beat you, just like the team scheme to let other guys on the Cavs beat you. I think the Warriors did that yesterday, and no one stepped up outside the big three.
Yeah, and you're right about that. And they need to get those guys to step up, and they need to kind of slow the roll of the bench players on the Warriors. What else we got over there, Gribbs? Who else is on the line?
Mike in Youngstown.
Mike.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Great show as usual. Two different things. One on the Browns real briefly. I personally think hearing and listening to you guys and, reading and whatever, I think if our quarterback comes through, I think we could do okay. I'm not talking about the playoffs, but I think we could beat the expectations of, what most people think, three or four wins, because it's not a bad nucleus by any means, but our quarterback's going to obviously be a key. And the other thing is with Kevin Love, maybe I'm old and I don't see what I see, but I saw a guy yesterday diving on the floor, getting in the way of people. Yeah, he missed some under the hoop, but he was fighting for 2 and 3 rebounds, 17 and 13. And the first thing that the media – and I'm not talking local, although a few, but the national media, we got to bring Fry in. We got to do this. We got to do that. What happened yesterday is our bench stunk. There's no other clear way to put it than they stunk. It wasn't Kevin. It was Kyrie dribbling a little bit too much. His stats were kind of, he did shoot a lot. But and LeBron, 23, 12, and 9. So we got to get the other half playing. And I'm so sick of everybody. The first thing that happens is Kevin Love. And I don't know how you guys feel, but I'll hang up and listen to you. Keep up the good work. Go Browns.
Thank you very much. I think Kevin Love played well. I was happy with the performance he got out of Kevin Love. And I even like sometimes when he got the ball on the block, he tried to be physical and back the guy down. And that's what's kind of screaming at the TV. I'm like, just get physical. Yeah, he was not the main issue. Now, when you get into these advanced stats that I was talking about from 538 about his defense, does that change things a little bit? Maybe there's room to improve there, but Kevin Love was never brought here to be a lockdown defender. He's brought here to score and rebound and make open threes, and he did all of those.
Yeah, I think he's an easy target, and I think he deserved the criticism he got in the last series for the no-shows he had in games 3 and 4. But now, among the many problems of yesterday's game, Kevin Love is not near the top of my list.
Agreed.
I was good with the offense and the rebounding he gave you. I think it's part of – he's not a every part of the game player. He's just never really been a great defensive player, and I think he's a worse defender than he might have been in the past because he dropped a lot of weight to get better on the offensive end, become a better shooter. So I think it's a you play with that, but you get him on the floor because you need his offense. The Warriors were a team last year that could get by without David Lee because they had enough offense to win with him and sure. not deal with his defense. I don't think the Cavs have enough offense to win without Kevin Love. They need him on the floor for that reason.
They certainly do. And I agree with you. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Anybody else on the phones there right now? Those are peeps.
We're taking a little breather.
Letting it mellow. By the way, for those who are wondering, 538 has updated their projections. They now have the Warriors with an 80% chance of winning the NBA title after game one. And they believe on 538 that game six is only a 50% probability of being likely.
I'm okay with that. I'll take the underdog
role. At least six games. Just, you know, if you're gonna take some credits and want to do something with them, go ahead and bet on the fact that this is going at least six.
Oh, my. That's what you're saying.
Just saying.
The Cavs at home have only – every one of their home games except game one against the Pistons, they've had an 18-point or more lead in that game.
We all need to just take a deep breath.
I know. I just want to remind people, though, that you declared after, I believe it was game three, game two. Was it game two?
No, it was game three.
Of the Thunder series that they were done?
Yes.
It couldn't have been game three, though, because they were only down. They ended up being up 3-1. It had to be after game two when it was 1-1. And you're like,
you're
defeated.
Oh, that's right. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about as good as guess the numbers.
Guess the stats. Just as good as Matt Fontana's performance in that as well. By the way, it is 100 days until game one of the Cleveland Browns 2016 schedule, Grimms. Only 100. We're going to get there.
That feels close.
It does feel close.
But I know once you get into like that third week of training camp, then it feels like at that point there's 100 more days until the season. So you gotta battle through August to get to September 11th there when the Browns start.
Yes, indeed. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll actually do higher or lower. We got the Friday forecast, 2:30. Plus, take your calls, 216-578-0850 on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
There it is, a little request Friday right there. What is this, Gibbs?
Maybe we should start doing that.
I like it. Who is this? This is Avenged Sevenfold?
Yeah, Shepherd of Fire.
And who requested this?
Hold on, I'm bringing it up because it came to my story. John Anderson.
I like this. Sounds a little WWF. I like that.
Old school.
A little attitude.
Not WWE.
Yeah, exactly. Good catch. Attitude here. I like it. All right, Gibbs. Let's go a little higher or lower.
Oh, boy.
Higher, is this your first higher or lower?
In a long time. I've done this before. I think around this time last year. I think.
Basically, when he had to fill in last year at this time, when everybody started taking vacation. I made Gibbs go through this. Yeah. All right. I'm assuming you guys know how to play the game. But if not, I'll give you the Wilhelm instructions. This is NFL.com's top 100 players of 2016. Should they be ranked higher, closer to number one, or lower, closer to number 100? We'll start at number 78 with the Jets running back Chris Ivory.
Lower.
Get him off the list. Out.
I think
he's out.
How did he make it?
I think he's solid, but I think he's replaceable.
He had a dominant stretch. I don't remember at the early beginning of the season, that game in London especially, where he's just running the Dolphins over. He's a good player, but when you get signed, when you become a free agent and you get signed to back up a young stud in T.J. Yeldon, or at least share carries with him, you're not one of the 100 greatest players in the NFL.
Yeah,
he's not getting picked. If the league was disbanded, he's not getting picked in the first 20 rounds of the draft.
Wow, that's bold. But I probably agree with you on that one. I think he's in the post, the small window that running backs have to be considered top running backs in the league, I think it's passed.
Yeah. Off the list. He's out.
Fair enough.
Higher or lower?
Number two today. Chiefs running back Jamaal Charles comes in at number 75. Should he be ranked higher or lower?
I'm going higher, but there's an asterisk next to that. You got to be available. And he's been hurt occasionally the last few years. But I think when he's on the field, he's still one of the top, one of the most dynamic players in the NFL. Produces both as a runner and pass catcher. I think he's still in his prime as a running back, so I like higher.
I agree. I think he would be taken in the first 20 rounds of the draft. 75. He was banged up last year, and then you saw Spencer Ware and Charkandrick West, who come in and play well for the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's probably around where he should be, but I'll say slightly higher. I'll put him at 70. Actually, if one of the guys on the list is where he is, I'll put him ahead of that guy that's on the list coming up.
Are we going to get to him?
68.
Higher or lower?
Number three, Broncos wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, ranked number 74. Should he be higher or lower?
It's a tough one for me because I don't know if should a number two receiver be this high on this list to begin with. But then I think he might be a number one receiver in about 10 or 12 teams in the NFL. So I'm in the era that the NFL is currently in, I think he's valuable. So I would go higher for him.
Right, Did you say he could start on like 10 or 12 teams?
I think he'd be a number one on about 10 or 12 teams.
A number one? Really?
76 catches, 1,135 yards, 6 touchdowns for him last year. Yeah.
I don't know if he's a number one.
Now, it's funny because you want to say, well, he did that with Peyton Manning. Yeah, but he did that with like the artist formerly known as Peyton Manning. Exactly. So it's not like he had great quarterback play this year.
I think for that team last year, Demaryius Thomas was up and down. He was their most consistent guy.
He was. The year before that, he had 101 catches, 1,404 yards, and 7 touchdowns. I mean, and 9 touchdowns, basically on the same number of targets. 141 in 2014, 137 in 2015. He had too many games where he was under 20 yards or under 30 yards. Now, he's out. Out. He's out of the top 100.
You just talk. You have a nice conversation with yourself there?
I was just going through the logistics. I was sharing my thought process with everybody. He's out. By the way, Therese A. Paler wrote an article. Former Browns coach Mike Pettin observed 2 Chiefs practices this week. KansasCity.com.
He's enjoying his time away. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Higher or lower?
Number 4 today, Bills running back LeSean McCoy comes in number 69. Should he be higher or lower?
I'm going to go lower.
It's a tough one.
Because I think...
Wow, closer to 100. Huh?
If I'm picking between Charles and McCoy right now and Charles is healthy, I'm taking Charles.
That was my point right there. LeSean McCoy, 895 yards, 3 touchdowns, 4.4 a carry. He's been under 4.5 yards a carry in 3 of his last 4 years. He has not scored more than 5 touchdowns but once in the last 4 seasons. Out! He's out. This list
He's
sucks.
Out?
Out. Out of the top 100.
What the heck is going on around here?
He wouldn't be taken in the first 10 rounds of a draft. Out.
Really?
2013 LeSean McCoy in. 2014 LeSean McCoy, maybe in, but more of a volume guy. 2015 LeSean McCoy, out.
It's a lot of anger. Lots of anger.
Out.
Higher or lower?
Broncos safety and former Cleveland Brown T.J. Ward comes in ranked number 68 on the list. Should he be higher or lower?
I'm going higher. I think he's a very important part of the NFL's best defense.
He's one of the top, so what number are you going for?
I'll slide him in maybe the bottom of the top 50.
What?
You know what you don't like? You want him lower?
Huh?
You want him lower on this list?
I don't know. I mean, do you think he's even one of the top 5 safeties in the NFL?
I think you can make that argument.
Yeah, I think for what – I mean, his defense – I mean, I know he's a part of this defense that is great, and he's not the only reason why that defense is great, but I think he is a major reason why that defense is great. And I think he does exactly what they need him to do. Maybe he's not as good in a different system, but I think he is just – I think he brings that energy, the intangible, to them. I like what he does for the Broncos.
I want my safety to cover a little bit better, if I'm going to be perfectly honest about it, than T.J. Ward. However, I'm not throwing him out of the list. He's not getting, he's not outed. He is, however, going to make the list. I think he's about right. I'd probably put him more around 75, but he deserves to be on the list. I will say that. He's not getting the full-on out treatment for me. I just don't know that he's... When I think about the safeties in the league that I'd rather, there are guys that pop into my mind that I would rather have than him. Both guys on Seattle. I'd still rather have Eric Weddle, even though maybe I'm just going off of reputation for Eric Weddle.
You are.
I think Eric Weddle could play. I would have rather had Chucky Wood last year. Harrison Smith is a very nice safety out in Minnesota. I just think T.J. Ward, I like T.J. Ward a lot. His not a great cover guy. Eric Berry in Kansas City, I would rather have. I think he's a very good player. I don't want to discount what a good player I think he is. Study it up right there. The summer study. Al Saunders. Learning the knowledge that's in there. I don't know that he's that high on the list for me. I think that, and that's all. But he's on the list. Just not that high on the list. That's a big statement for a box strong safety. I'm looking right now at Pete Prisco's top 100 players of the league, and he is not on that list. Unless I'm making a mistake. Honey Badger, I'd rather have. There's another one. He's definitely not in the top 10, so. Nah, he's not. T.J. Ward didn't make the list. But he stays in. He stays in the top 100 for me. He's not a quick out, but he's in.
Higher or lower?
Final one today, guys. It's Seahawks safety Earl Thomas. Comes in ranked 66. Should he be higher or lower?
I'm going to go like one or two spots higher. I really like Earl Thomas. I think that secondary is still great.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he pairs nicely with Chancellor. I think he's just a really good player right in the prime of his career. So I'd say he's about accurately placed, but if I'm going one way or the other, it might be a few spots higher.
Yeah, I think he's about right. I think he's about right. You could maybe make the case that he comes a little bit higher, as Grib says, but that's it. So basically from this list, Ivory out, Sanders out, McCoy out, Ward much higher, I mean much lower, closer to 100. Jamal Charles about right, Earl Thomas about right.
I'm a much bigger Sanders fan than you are.
He was never that good when he was with the Steelers.
Yeah.
I like him, but I don't think that he's a guy. To me, to be in the top 100 players in the NFL, right? So there are 32 teams in the league. So three players per team is 96. So this is basically saying you're one of the top three players if, like, the franchises were disbanded. And I'm trying to not account for just the overall importance of the quarterback position. That you would be one of the top players in the league. And I don't think, if I'm drafting wide receivers, is Emmanuel Sanders one of the first 15 receivers I'm drafting? If you're disbanding the league, is he one of the first 15 that come off the board? First 12?
I think he's close.
First 12?
Sanders?
Yeah. You're starting a franchise.
No, I'm not. No, he's not one of the first 15.
Listen, I just want to throw this out there because I was doing a little research today for a different story.
Yeah.
I like it, Gribbs.
Mohamed Sanu.
His numbers were hot garbage.
Had 33 catches for 394 yards. He signed a 5-year, $32 million contract. This is becoming a wide receivers league.
They both were grossly overpaid. Sanu
and...
This
guy from Jacksonville that just had the massive...
That's game. Allen Hurns, man. Allen Hurns is a solid player.
So you putting Hurns over Sanders?
I would take Allen Hurns over Emmanuel Sanders, yes.
Oof, no way.
6'2", 200 pounds, comes in... 64 catches, 1,031 yards, 10 touchdowns, 1,031, 10 touchdowns, 16.1 a catch. Undrafted free agent from the U. He's been a very productive player. But they're in the same ballpark for me. But I'm taking, let's just look at like, I know this is not fair to do because it's not a fantasy thing, but this gives you an idea of the most productive receivers in the league, right? So let's look at the wide receiver position, okay? And we're going to look at the wide receiver position. And we're going to just go through this. If you're drafting, it's easy. Some of the top names are easy, right? Antonio Brown, you're taking over Emmanuel Sanders. Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, Dez Bryant, Jordy Nelson, Allen Robinson, Alshon Jeffrey, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Brandon Cooks.
I don't know. Also, remember, this list is like based almost exclusively off 2015 performance. So a guy like Jordy would not be on there.
Brandon,
for this list.
No, we're drafting it for this year.
Yeah.
Brandon Marshall, absolutely. You could make the case that Eric Decker was a much more productive receiver last year. Amari Cooper, absolutely. Demaryius Thomas, absolutely. Randall Cobb, I would say absolutely. You're probably taking Sammy Watkins before you ever took him. You're probably taking Michael Floyd before you ever take Emmanuel Sanders if you're starting a franchise. Michael Floyd's a good player.
See, if you're starting a franchise, you're taking Brandon Marshall over Emmanuel Sanders?
Well, I'm saying for 1 year. All right, 1 year. Okay. A 1 year snapshot. Like, if I'm drafting, I'd much rather have Michael Floyd and his skill set on my team than Emmanuel Sanders.
For 1 year, I'm not taking Floyd over Sanders.
Disrespectful.
I want to see Floyd on a team that doesn't also have Larry Fitzgerald and John Brown and all those other guys.
Well, that makes it also harder for him to get the ball, let's not forget.
Right.
Gibbs, let's play Guess the Stats for you. Michael Floyd last season. I believe he only played in like 10 games, though. I don't remember how many games he played.
What'd you say? Sorry, I was answering a phone.
Never mind. We were going to play Guess the Stats, but nobody wants it. Nobody wants to hear that kind of suffering.
No one wants to hear it, huh?
Was that the kid?
Maybe it was.
Eric Decker, John Brown. I'm telling you, I'd rather have Doriel Green Beckham right now. Jeremy Maclin.
For one season, you're taking Doriel Green Beckham over Emmanuel Sanders. There's no way. Maybe potential. Not one season.
Oh, you can't tell me this. You can try. But you announce it. By God. By God, King. That's the kids' music. This is the full intro, the full 45 seconds before we get the payoff. What up, kid?
Ladies and gentlemen,
the kid makes his return. Kid, what's going on, brother?
Sitting a little bit poolside here at Camp Walden.
Nice. So are you spending the whole day there? Aren't you going back tonight for the pool party?
Yes, I am going back for the pool party. We just we had a little lunch, and then we came out here, and now LB is doing some swimming, and Elaine is making some movies on the sideline. And other than that, we're good to go.
Nice. Did you see Sir Andrew Sims?
No, I did not see them making the turn. I'm not sure what time they were teeing off.
Ah, unfortunate. Too bad. All right, kid, you were at the bar with me last night. Cavaliers, quickly, your thoughts.
You know, it was a little bit of a disappointment in the sense that I thought the game was there to be stolen. They didn't steal it, but by no means am I throwing in the towel as it seems like the rest of the world is. It's a 7-game series. What would people have said after the OKC San Antonio game one? You know, and then OKC turned the tables real quickly. There were some things I think we can exploit in this series, namely, a little that pick and roll with LeBron and Kyrie. I think they're going to have trouble defending, and we just have to clean up a few things. As far as Ty Lue, I thought had a terrible game. His rotations were terrible. He went away from the lineup that worked better than any lineup in the entire playoffs, and they played 0 minutes last night.
Are you concerned about the fact that Curry and Thompson were really non-factors, and you still lost?
No, because I think that their bench was amazing, and I think the two will probably flip-flop in the next game. And if the Cavs would have hit their shots, they would have been right there. I can't count the amount of times where we missed open layups and just funny shots. LeBron, Love, Kyrie, I would say they each had at least 3 shots. So let's go with those 9 shots going in. That's 18 points. We win the game by 2 or 3.
I mean, there's a lot of – what was that math again? Can I hear that again?
They each missed 3 bunnies, in my opinion. So that's 9 shots or 18 points that we should have had. I mean, point-blank shots. We're not talking about three-pointers. We're talking about layups there was one possession where LeBron missed 3 layups in a row.
So does he get 6 points for that in your scenario?
No, in my scenario, that would only be 2.
Okay.
But that one, he probably had about 5 or 6 total bunnies that he missed. Either
All
way,
right, kid.
Hopefully it's going to be a long series, and we'll be right there at the end.
Yes. Do you feel that this is a must-win game?
Yes. Yes. Game 2 is a must-win
game. So if the Cavs lose this game, do you think it's over?
I wouldn't say, I mean, you know, until four wins are on the board, I wouldn't say it's over, but I would think that, you know, the chances of them winning 4 out of 5 would be less than 5%.
Okay. Did you see that 538 now is the Warriors at 80% to win the series, and they believe that it is only 50% likely that there will be a game six?
Well, I'm not interested in 538. 538 also said Donald Trump wouldn't get the Republican nomination. So
they're not
exactly having a good year.
Kid, shots fired. All right, Gibbs, get in here. Friday forecast. Let's go.
We want to do it right now?
Or do you want to take a break and tease people with it?
Well, I know Kid is at the pool, and he had one good segment for us. So we can do the forecast right now if you want.
Yeah, we've got the kid. Let's do it.
Fine. Kid, you ready?
I'm ready.
Good. I'm glad everybody else is, because I, however, am not.
By the way, Kid, did you go with the chicken quesadilla at the pool? It's fine. It's a fine
chicken quesadilla. No, we did not eat at the pool. We met my niece at the Beachwood Mall for lunch.
In the food court?
In the food court, yes.
Chick-fil-A?
It had a little combination, Chick-fil-A, pretzel shop, the pasta bar. We hit it all.
What? No Chinese food?
Are you kidding me? That Chinese food is not for human consumption.
I disagree. When they give out that free sample of that teriyaki chicken, it's delicious.
Hopefully they're not a sponsor.
They're not.
I hope not.
They're not.
Hopefully they're
Question
not.
Number one today as we move along. What are you looking forward to seeing the most at next week's mandatory minicamp, the final camp before training camp?
I'd like to see, I know it's only a couple weeks later, but I'd like to see if Coleman took Hugh Jackson's commentary to heart and he comes back in looking like he's in a little bit more football shape. Because from everything
he's been practicing since then, and he's dominating.
My sources tell me that he's been dominant in practice, and so I'm hoping that, you know, he can stand out.
I'm going to go with a deep cut here on this one.
Ooh, Chris.
Gary Barnage is out for minicamp. A lot of inexperience behind him at that tight end position. Who's going to be the number one tight end these next few days? I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, 11-on-11, you know, seeing what ones versus ones. I want to see, can EJ Bibbs make some catches?
Bibtacular.
Because we've seen Barnage, what we've seen in minicamp, he's still very involved in the passing game. No matter what you've done at the wide receiver, they're connecting with Barnage a lot. So I want to see, you know, this is an opportunity with a very wide open number two tight end job for guys to start making some impressions and go into training camp feeling good.
Yeah, Bibbs and DeValve, I want to see what they can do as the pass catching options. I think that's a good one. For me, it's going to be two things. Number one, RG3. Do we see more progress from RG3, better decisions in the pocket, quicker decisions? And at the wide receiver position, who alongside Corey Coleman steps up? Terrell Pryor, does he keep it going as the pressure starts to mount, as he starts to be playing very, very well? I talked to them yesterday at the tournament, and he said, you know, it's night and day, and he's a guy, he's reaching out to his coaches every single night to go out over the film, to do anything he can to get better. I love that. The guy's an unbelievable athlete. With that kind of focus and commitment, I expect to see good things. And then will Hollywood Higgins continue to ascend? What about Ricardo Lewis? I want to see these wide receivers, Rennell Hall, Darius Jennings, Andrew Hawkins, everybody in that group, how do they perform this week, and really their last chance to kind of slot themselves before they come back for training.
Are they allowed to tackle next week? Do we have pads? What are the rules?
No, I don't believe so.
I think last year the Baltimore Ravens, it's non-contact.
Yeah, but the Baltimore Ravens lost three OTAs and a hefty fine for their rule-breaking.
Yeah, that's a joke. If that was Bill, he would have been fined a first-round pick, probably.
Bill Belichick, yeah, they might have taken away their quarterback.
There's no contact. Are they in pads at least?
No,
because you can't see anything defensively when you're watching this stuff. You can't get a read on the defense.
I don't know if that's true. I think you can get a read on the scheme and the natural movement, but guys who look great in shorts don't always look great in pads, so that is something that you'll have a better idea of in late summer for sure.
Number two.
Question number two today, guys. You're Brock Osweiler. Should you have gone to the White House to get your ring today?
It's a no-win situation for him, because if he skips OTAs in Houston where he's trying to establish himself as the leader, it looks bad. And if he skips the White House and makes him look like he's a petulant little child, I think it's a no-win situation personally.
So he opted for petulant little child?
I think he did the right thing by Houston, but he looks like a petulant little child at Denver. If I was him, I probably would have gone, because in his heart of hearts, he knows he's not going to be the starting quarterback on a Super Bowl champ. This is his one chance.
I'm going if I'm Brock. It's one OTA. I know these are very important to establish your role. They weren't going to sign you to the contract that they signed you to if they don't think you're going to be the starting quarterback.
Right.
I think this is a decision he regrets within a few months, definitely after his career as well.
I'm walking in there and I'm saying, Bob McNair, get me on a plane. Let's go. Let me see if I can do. Let's see if I can do all of it, all of the above. I'll do whatever I can, but I have to be there. So I'm going to be there, and I'm going to get my ring. I'm going to go to the White House. That it's a champions, as the Macho Man Randy Savage used to say when he did what he wanted to do. Champions prerogative, yeah. It's a champions prerogative to go to the White House. He should have done it. It's a unique thing. Should have done it, and then come back. Then been the Houston Texans. I mean, listen, the guy's in there, and he's being compared to what they saw last year from Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer. He's going to be just fine in the eyes of the Texans.
I would never have gone. That's my only thing. I was a bench player at best.
What do you mean? He was critical to them getting there.
Clearly, they didn't see the value in him. They weren't as appreciative.
Yeah, but I'm doing that. I'm doing this for myself.
Yeah,
I'm doing
this
for the experience.
I'm not doing it to be like, hey, Broncos.
Whatever. Just ship me my ring. Let's go.
Number three.
Question number three today. Who's the Cavalier that has to step up the most in game number two?
Hey, I like that other one you had, though, about the.
Well, I'm going to say there's a Cavalier that needs to step up in game number two. It's a two-part answer. I'm going to say Tyrone Liu and Channing Frye. But Channing Frye can't step up unless Tyrone Liu puts him in the game. I mean, what was he doing last night? The guy has been the number one three-point shooter on open threes the entire season, and Ty Liu hasn't ridden the pine the whole game? Inexplicable to me, and I look for Channing Frye to come out with 15 to 18 points on Sunday.
I would think the obvious one is to me is J.R. Smith, but I'm going with Kyrie Irving. I think he played pretty well, but I think he got into some real bad habits. I think that rubbed off on the rest of the offense. And I think he can be better on defense. So I think if he can step up in at least some of those areas, get the ball moving, and make some of those spot-up jumpers that he likes to take, because he was apparently 0 for 6 on those, I think you have a better result. And you take advantage of Curry not playing well better if you have a better Kyrie Irving in game two.
I'm going to say it starts at the top. I'm going to go with LeBron James. LeBron James has to be better, more efficient with the basketball. Did you see in the 22 possessions where he was guarded by Iguodala, he was just 1 for 2 from the floor with multiple turnovers? So he's got to find a way to be more effective, because this team follows his body language, unfortunately, and as he goes, they go. And so I think, you know, it starts with the star. But in reality, the bench has to be better, and Matthew Dellavedova looked completely outclassed and looked like a guy that shouldn't be in the NBA yesterday. And if he looks that way again this series and makes Barbosa and Livingston look like the greatest players that have ever played the game, the Cavs have no chance.
Number four.
All right, guys, we've only got about 2 minutes here left in the segment. So real quick, we can all agree Jerry Rice is the number one wide receiver of all time. But who is number two? NFL.com had some interesting videos about
that's him. Easy. That'd be Randy Moss.
Randall K, for sure.
That'd be Randy Moss.
And I would almost say he's not number one, but he's definitely number two, and then there's a big gap to number three.
Randy Moss.
A counter, because I agree with Randy Moss. We're all in agreement with this. How much longer would he have had to do it to be in the conversation with Jerry Rice?
I'll tell you this. I think he's in the conversation with Jerry Rice. And if you were saying to me, you get him at his rookie year and Jerry Rice's rookie year, and you get their careers and you know the longevity, everything about it, who are you taking? I'm taking Randy Moss. I would take Randy Moss over Jerry Rice. And I grew up in the Bay Area. I have Jerry Rice jerseys. I love Jerry Rice. Randy Moss is the most dominant player who's ever played this game at the wide receiver position.
Do you think we don't talk about him enough in that breath because we've just gotten so used to saying Jerry Rice is the best? Or is it because he won more?
I think Jerry Rice maximized talent, and yeah. Randy Moss, the perception was that he got by just on natural ability.
Yes. And that Jerry Rice put up the numbers he put up in an era where those numbers stood out so greatly. Right. Whereas, you know, Randy started to get into a little bit of the throwing era. But I just think when you have that size, that speed, and that ability, like Jerry Rice just can't be as tall as Randy Moss. Jerry Rice can't be the vertical threat that Randy Moss is. Jerry Rice is good. It's great. But Randy Moss. Fliss, floss, glitter, and gloss. Catching a beat like my name was Randy Moss. Kid, enjoy the pool.
My
now.
Pleasure.
Enjoy the pool later.
All right, gentlemen, until we meet again.
Kid. Follow him on Twitter at DaKid97, D-A-K-I-D 97. All right, we'll be back with our final thoughts on a fun, fun, fun Friday. We are looking forward to the weekend here. Zagura, Gribbs, Gibbs, CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Wrapping it up here on a lovely Friday. Gibbs, one of these days are you going to get the... We need this Enzo Amore. We need that song.
I heard you singing it.
That's a different version. We could use that version, though. It's an acoustic White Stripes cover version of their song, which is great.
That's outstanding.
There's a group called Pro Wrestling Goes Acoustic on YouTube, and they make acoustic covers of every WWE entrance theme, and they send it to Zack Ryder of Zack Ryder's, and he goes on Twitter, he goes, "That's going to be the first dance at my wedding."
I've never been more lost. I was more lost when you were playing that during the break than the whole Friday thing. Well, all I know is I heard White Stripes being sung in a different level with different words.
Yes, yes.
That's all I knew.
It's a parody, Gribbs. That's all. Enzo Amore and Big Cass, they're a tag team, and they are my daughter's favorite group.
They should have roped in Jack White to help out and maybe sign off so they can make some money off that.
They should have. Maybe they will. Maybe that'll be at WrestleMania one year if they have a big enough match. They do that. Sometimes they bring in, like, legit people.
I'll be watching.
Like, you know, have you heard of Lemmy?
No.
For Motorhead?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were, like, pointing to a wrestler. Okay, I default said no when you were asking. I thought you were talking about wrestling. Yeah.
Well, that puts you ahead of Wilhelm. He did not know who Lemmy was. All right, that'll do it for us today. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. We want to thank each and every one of you for being with us. Ford Kid. For Jason Gibbs, for Sir Andrew Gribble. Matt Wilhelm was in the dunk take today. He'll be back with us next week. We want to say have a great weekend, and thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.